Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. And yes, it actually is the day I'm saying it is. Unlike yesterday when I said Thursday was Wednesday. It's been a week. It's been a week over here at the old Cheesehead TV homestead. Hope you're all doing well wherever you are, preparing to have a great weekend, doing whatever you're doing. I've been having a ball watching the Euros and Copa started last night. That Argentina-Canada match was a good kickoff to that tournament. Of course, all quiet on the Packers front, more or less. Not a whole lot to talk about other than, you know, maybe some fantasy implications. I want to talk about Josh Jacobs and his workload and what fans and fantasy players can expect heading into 2024. But first, of course, I want to give a shout-out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right, folks. They're based in Wisconsin since 1992. Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage in the description of this video or on our app. That's right, people. Utilize Ticket King for your Packers ticket needs. Hello to everybody in the comments. So good to see everybody already chiming in, gearing up for a weekend. So good to see Scotty P, Jay Foreman. What's up, man? Funkus. How you doing, man? You know, getting down and dirty right here, right off the bat with a question. You say workhorse, but do we expect 1,000 yards? Yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of expectation, right? I do think wherever Matt LaFleur has been, whether it's calling plays in Tennessee or at his current post in Green Bay, he has liked to share the load with the offensive backfield, filled with, you know, guys who will undoubtedly have to prove it, so to speak. Backfield in transition, as it is. Aaron Jones, the longstanding stalwart and star, has moved on to purpler pastures. I don't expect for a moment that LaFleur is going to just suddenly feed Josh Jacobs, 25 times a game between carries and receptions. I do think Jacobs will be utilized a lot more in the passing game than he has been throughout his NFL career. It's kind of crazy to me. I just was kind of looking at things this afternoon, and Jacobs has never had a receiving touchdown in the league that I can find. So that, to me, I think is the biggest change that's going to happen here as far as Jacobs' usage on the offensive side of the ball. I do think you're going to see something similar to both the kind of stable that Matt had with Jones getting roughly 55-60% of the carries when healthy, right? And then whoever that second back is, whether it's AJ Dillon or maybe the rookie Marshawn Lloyd, as the season progresses and he proves he's reliable and capable and able to handle all of the things in the passing game as well as pass protection, etc., that they can count on him, I expect him to start to eat away at some of those opportunities as well. But yeah, 1,000 yards, no question. I think there's zero doubt in my mind. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're going to be akin to what we saw from Jones and Dillon a couple years ago, where both of those backs went over 1,200 yards, all-purpose yards, for only the second time in Packers history. I don't know if there's a coupling like that here, but I do think, you know, Jacobs, it's interesting. I was reading some fantasy stuff today. So yes, this is partly a fantasy chat. And I've seen people like just in some like hardcore, you know, do all the research fantasy guys saying how they wouldn't touch Jacobs this year. And I think, you know, something I learned at Football Guys a long time ago, shout out to that crew over there in the shark pool. But, you know, all players have value. And I understand shying away from him because you think there are better kind of guys with better upside and more opportunities coming their way, etc. But I would not, in any way, shape, or form, be disappointed if I entered my fantasy season with Jacobs on my roster. It is about value and where you select him in your draft, but he is going to get a lot of work. I don't think he's going to be, again, like a 20 carry a game guy. I don't think anybody in Green Bay will ever be that as long as Matt LaFleur's in town. But this idea that, oh, he's like, I've seen this too, like fantasy poison and things like that. I'm like, I understand he's coming off a disappointing season in his last year with the Raiders, but there is context there, and there are certainly plenty of clips that you can look at, or even just go watch the coaches tape and the All 22 available to you with your NFL Plus subscription, and look at the, I mean, downright atrocious at times blocking that he had in front of him, and the way he, the stuff that he had to work with or didn't have to work with, I think is going to be a lot better in his Green Bay environs. And I do believe he's going to be much, much more effective. And I'm not saying he's going to be the league rushing leader like he was the year prior to that, his best season in the league. But I do think, you know, people are going to be pleasantly surprised with how productive he is with Matt LaFleur calling plays and designing things for him. But yeah, I would suspect he will be, you know, the lead back. But AJ Dillon is going to see plenty of action early in the season, and Lloyd, as he progresses, will continue to eat away at those opportunities as well. That is my kind of two cents here. You can take it or chuck it. I know you will, but, just an interesting kind of conversation that I happened upon, where I understand, again, like if you're a fantasy person, you want opportunities. And I just think with Matt's history regarding the offensive backfield, he has never, even in Tennessee when he had Derrick Henry, it's not like he was feeding Derrick Henry. Go back and look at that year. He didn't at all, you know? So I don't think Jacobs is in for some workhorse-like season. I do think, again, he will bounce back and be much more productive and effective than he was his last year with the Raiders. Quinn, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, just a quick Preston Smith appreciation post. The guy has been such a stud since becoming a Packer. That's all. Cheers. That's a good shout out. Yeah, I mean, Preston, it's fascinating that he is a guy who just comes to work, does his job, is pretty damn good at it. And it seemed like for a number of seasons there, like it was a 2 or 3 year stretch where every offseason it felt like fans were saying that he needed to kind of, they needed to move on or take a pay cut or whatever. And he has adjusted his contract a couple times, you know, and I do think all he does is play at an extremely high level. He's always available. The man has missed one game in his entire NFL career, going back to his days in Washington. That is nuts, especially playing that position. All the kind of wear and tear and the kind of down in and down out violence you're dealing with. The man always answers the bell. He is an absolute force against the run. Still get after it when rushing the passer. Yeah, he's a baller, and I'm happy he's a Packer, no doubt. Ed, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Told a Bears fan that his dislike for soccer surprised me, since I thought watching a team running all over the field and rarely scoring would be right up his alley. Oh! Ed is here all week. Tip your waitress. Try the veal. Joey, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. We all know Packers Twitter will explode about not giving Jacobs the ball more like they did with Aaron Jones, even though it keeps him fresh. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting. I will say, I am kind of fascinated as to how Matt LaFleur reacts if Jacobs is producing and playing very well, and obviously the offense is flowing when Jacobs is out there. Does he continue to kind of, I'm going to stick with my rotation no matter what? Or because Jacobs has seemingly been a little bit more able to play through injury, maybe he keeps him out there a little bit more and allows him to kind of get into a groove a bit more. I don't know, but I do know they will have their packages, and you're probably going to see, oh, here comes the Jacobs drive, and then next up, it's the Dillon drive, until, oh, wait, no, now we're back to the Jacobs drive. I'm just expecting that. Nick, what's going on, man? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. Happy Friday, bud. Hope you're doing well. I would love to see an A.J. Dillon fullback and Josh Jacobs tandem. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Dillon would be a traditional fullback in that regard, but I do think you'll see a few smattering of, you know, plays where they're in the backfield together. They ran a great play last year where Dillon was out in front of Jones and helped kind of lead block for a touchdown, right? Again, I don't think there's going to be a lot of it, but I do think you'll see it here and there, I would suspect. Joe, what's up, man? How much Corey charging you to stay for the draft? Nah, I don't care what Corey's charging. If he's charging, I'm staying with my dad. That's easy. That's solved. Talking about how he's going to rent out the Negler suite. I got words for you, Mr. Banky. Ed, what's up? Is Purpler Pastures the Vikings house band? I believe so. Their hit, We Ain't Got No Trophies, went to number one in Minnesota. Valzad, what's up, man? Finally here and not in my ortho clinic. I listened to Peter Bukowski this morning. He believes Jair is the most important person to the success of the defense. I disagree. It has to be Rashawn Gary. I think both of those are worthy nominees, right? And I do understand where Pete's coming from as far as the ability Jair has, and especially in the type of defense they're going to run under Halfley, his presence and his ability to maybe not shut down a side. I think that's a little bit unfair to any corner, including Jair. But I think he will, if he's playing at the level he's capable of and back to kind of his all-pro ways, he does allow them to do a whole hell of a lot and really kind of mess with offenses. But your point about Rashawn Gary, I could see that kind of case as well, right? Especially if Rashawn can kind of build upon what he was able to do, you know, especially earlier last year. We know the sacks certainly dried up. There were still pressures on the quarterback, but now being a year removed from that ACL injury, hopefully that kind of shows up. And he's able to, you know, collapse the pocket a little bit more and be able to kind of create a little bit more havoc. It's interesting, though, if you're talking about the person who needs to play the highest level and most important, I don't know, man. I think it's Kenny Clark, myself. I think given what they're going to be doing as far as rushing those front four and asking them to create the havoc, you know, gap penetration-wise, there's no doubt in my mind that if Kenny is dominant, that everything else is going to fall into place. You know, if there's a possibility that Devontae Wyatt takes a step and, you know, all the guys up front maybe kind of collectively play and affect the offense a lot more because of what they're being asked to do in a new scheme, etc. But man, I don't know. Yeah, for me, it always starts in the middle. It's always about controlling the line of scrimmage. And, you know, Rashawn will be part of that on one side of the ball, especially if they're running it to that side of the, whatever. But to me, it's about owning the line of scrimmage. And to me, that starts with Kenny Clark. But that's just me. We can all agree to disagree. Joey, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Random Packer, JJ Jansen. One that got away. M, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Jordan Love is visiting Italy. Dude doesn't miss a move. Is he in Italy? I was just in Italy. He probably saw some pictures on my Insta and was like, that looks great, and then decided to go to Italy. I kid, of course. Definitely not following my Instagram. Craig, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. I see you survived Heapocalypse 2024. Aside from Carry the G, what is your go-to summer cool-down drink? I'm an old man, so it is exactly what I am drinking right now. It is lime seltzer. And I've survived it so far, but damn, it is hot. It is hot in New York today. It is like do the right thing hot. And I ain't got no AC up in here. So I'm playing through it. Most Hated says McKinney could be the piece that completes the puzzle, but he probably isn't involved in most plays, to be honest. Yeah, no, I mean, the thing about the safety position is, you know, because of the way you want to deploy them interchangeably and disguise things, especially pre-snap, their importance is obvious, right? There's no doubt that you can make a case for either one of those positions, though McKinney is the free agent prize, and you're definitely going to be kind of highlighting him. But I think, yeah, to your point, like if you're, you know, running a play and he's playing a deep coverage on the far hash and you're run a 4-yard kind of scamper outside away from him, it's not like even has the opportunity to affect that play, right? Whereas Kenny Clark probably does. you know, if they're trying to move the line of scrimmage, they're trying to run zone, they're trying to, you know, wall that off and get a reach block on him. Well, he has a chance to blow that up. So it's like, that's the thing. But like each play is, you know, broken, can be broken down into components where, you know, most players will have a chance to affect the play. Number of times, that's where it gets kind of a little bit hazy. Larry says, I agree about Clark, but think the safety in this new scheme is going to be a key factor. Yeah, no doubt. The idea that this, what Halfley talked about in his introductory press conference about the post safety, right? And I know there's been a lot of talk about McKinney filling that role. However, he's going to be doing a lot of different things. And whoever's paired with him at this point, most likely Javon Bullard, but whoever it is. And I talked about this with Cody on the video a couple days ago. You know, whoever it is, they have to get to be as interchangeable as possible. And whatever you're asking your post safety, quote unquote, to do, your other safety is going to have to do it at times as well. So, yeah, there's no doubt that McKinney is a important piece, and that component is something that, you know, has been lacking in Green Bay for quite some time. I would never kind of diminish the importance of what they're asking the old safeties to do. No doubt about it. Random Packer Terrell Middleton. Good call. I like that. Will you ever sit in the bowl at Lambeau for a game again? What a dramatic question, Brett. Yeah, of course. I just sat in the bowl a couple years ago with Zabe and Josh on a Sunday night game against the Bears. That was a beautiful night. But yeah, of course, I'll do it at some point. I don't know when, but yeah, at some point. Craig, what would you rather do? Bulldoze Lambeau and move the team to Madison, or lose to the Bears every game for the next 20 years? Who started early? Man, what a question. What would I rather do? Bulldoze Lambeau? God, it's like, might as well just like tear up a church. What are you talking about over here? But the game's the thing. So yeah, no, like I'll move the Packers to Madison if it means I'm not losing to the Bears for 20 years. What are you, crazy? I'll still call them the Green Bay Packers. It doesn't matter. Like, you can call them whatever you want. They're still beating the Bears. That's the whole point there. Nick, what's up? Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitch. Appreciate you, man. Speaking of Twitch, thanks for the handful of folks who showed up last night to watch me whoop up on the Texans. Man, that was fun. That game was over by halftime. Sorry, it wasn't a whole lot of drama there. But, yeah, I think the final score was, what, 35-3? Man, it was awesome. Wooden had a sack, strip, fumble, and Keyshawn Nixon scooped it up to score to make it 21-0 right before half. I think it was over, man. 88 and out the gate. Those hated. That's like a torture chamber question, right? Like, man, I'm just trying to relax on a Friday. Like, it's hot. Let me relax over here. Greg, trying to push a button here. How are your Brewers doing? They're doing okay. Still in first place, I think. They had a rough one last night. They got so close to the comeback. But yeah, they're doing all right. They're doing all right there on the old West Coast trip. So far, so good. A Bears fan asked me if I was a Packers owner. I said yes, and therefore I also own the Bears. Absolutely correct, sir. And, I mean, let's give a shout-out to Matt LaFleur. Just fathom this. And I do love that when Matt was hired, if you'll remember, he was asked about the rivalry, right, and if there was something to the importance of it and how he would lean into it or not lean into it, etc. And he's, you know, he was very pragmatic about it. And I'll never forget that because I didn't like that answer. Because I loved how McCarthy kind of leaned into the rivalry, right? And, you know, Matt was very like, well, division games are important, but that's where it ends. Like, they're just a divisional opponent, etc. Well, whatever he's doing is 100% correct because he has owned the Bears. I mean, talk about Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur ain't lost. Not one time to the Bears. Bring in whoever you want to coach. He's still going to whoop up on them. I love it. I absolutely love it. Brett, what's up? Carry the G going to be available outside of Wisconsin in the year of our Lord 2024? Brett, we're really close to being able to announce it, what the plans are. for Carry the G in 2024. Just watch this space. We'll have news on that front very, very soon. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you Monday. Go, Pack, go.